Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am John Batchelor, Gaius, and I welcome Michael Vlahos, Germanicus, to comment on 2,000 years from us here in the peaceful spring of Londinium at the edge of the Roman Empire. All is peaceful. It is the first century AD. This is the epitome of Roman authority and security. At the same time, we're aware over the next 2,000 years, built on the institutions of Augustus and the Roman Empire, there will be struggles between states, between sovereign powers. And we're looking at one in particular in Ukraine that appears to illustrate the word intractable. It is not the first time that Russia has battled the edges of its empire. This is the pivot nation, the heartland, all of its empire. Germanicus is aware that I have been reading in between our wine-sipping sessions on Saturday afternoon before we go off to another virtuous Greek play. I've been reading about Yalta, the conference that took place in Crimea, which is, you know, as playwrights go, an economy of scene. Because right now we're battling over Crimea, and the Crimea was the scene of a cutting up of Europe in 1945 between Stalin, representing the Russian Empire, Churchill representing the British Empire, and Franklin Roosevelt representing the American Empire. Again, we're watching the same contest with the same players, different emphasis, but Russia, Europe, and the United States looking at Ukraine as a surrogate battlefield. A headline here before I welcome Germanicus's thoughts about Moscow's war aims. The headline in the Wall Street Journal from Europe: Russia exploits artillery advantage as Ukraine braces for attacks on more eastern cities. Subhead: Moscow lines up next targets, Kiev says, as fight for control of Severodonetsk rages on. Subhead: Ukrainian officials renewed calls for additional arms from the West. Germanicus: It would appear that the fate of Donbass, eastern Ukraine, is in the balance. Moscow, what is its war aims? Where is it going? Good evening to you, Germanicus.
Good evening, Gaius. We stand at a fateful moment, as we have each week in this war, but it does seem as though the war is reaching a kind of culmination, not a culmination in terms of ultimate diplomatic outcomes, but a culmination of the very dynamic of the war itself, and reaching its end in terms of the forces that move it. In other words, it is my conviction that the Russian Federation has fought a short, victorious war with Ukraine, and that war is reaching its point of completion. And this is something that needs to be understood about the history of Russia, is that you have a series of situations where Russia is brought down and then renews itself, overcomes all of the great forces arrayed against it, and not only triumphs, but is able to assert its greatness. And one of the things that you see as a kind of a standard motif or a trope in all of these Russian struggles, wars, and victories is that Russia is not, in the end, sort of intransigent. It's willing to accommodate, and it's willing to make compromises and accept something slightly less than what it might really want. And that is because Russia geographically is kind of a metaphor of you can't always get what you want, in the sense that Russia is surrounded by borderlands. And borderlands, by definition, are indefinite. And so that in trying to recognize what might be a secure foundation for the Russian Empire, the borders themselves are going to be indeterminate. They can shift back and forth. And therefore, what I think you're seeing here is this entire tapestry of Russian history playing out yet again. And here in this war, not unlike the war that Stalin fought with Hitler or the war that Alexander fought with Napoleon, there is an outcome that is not perfect in geographical terms, but at the same time is sufficient. And that is the physical outcome. But at the same time, in these great struggles, the outcome also has a spiritual dimension in which Russia triumphs over forces that would actually overthrow Russia. And in fact, the last time Russia truly experienced this was around 1600, where the Polish king actually took Moscow and held it for several years. In other words, Russia has felt several times with Napoleon, almost with Hitler, but certainly before that with the Tatars and the Poles, has felt the cold steel against its throat. And so what I think we're seeing here in this war, even though the West can't recognize it, is that same metaphor of Russia rising up and renewing itself and effectively restoring its greatness, a term the Romans used a lot and the Byzantines, a renovatio. And Russia had sunk to a very low estate. It was abased and groveling in 1991. It was downtrodden. And so the trajectory of Mr. Putin is the renovatio. It's the restoration of Russian greatness. And greatness is a feeling. It's a spiritual sensation, a spiritual state of being. And so that this war, in many ways, for Russians, not simply for Mr. Putin, but for the vast majority of Russians who so energetically enjoin this enterprise, the war in Ukraine is not about taking Ukraine, it's about restoring Russia. And in fact, Ukraine, in a strange way, along with the Western aid that it has been receiving all these years, did Russia a great favor, because the initial attack was expected to reimpose Russian dominance on Ukraine, and that didn't work out. And so what replaced that initial fail to completely take over Ukraine in a kind of quick shock and awe, force majeure advance has turned into a very different kind of metaphor for Russia. It's not Russia asserting its imperial dominance, which would be, as so portrayed by the West, a kind of example of imperial arrogance. Instead, Russia's had to reassess, readjust, and to claw its way back against all of the forces of the West. And so by NATO so throwing its weight in favor of Ukraine and giving it so much military help and making it, in effect, a proxy war where Russia was not merely beating up like some bully on Ukraine, but rather heroically fighting the forces of all of Europe itself, as they had against Napoleon and as they had against Hitler. Now Russia is standing up to the true tyrant, the West that would impose itself on Mother Russia and civilize it. That is a tremendous story that will light the torch of any Russian. And in fact, Russia has managed to take that situation, which of course creates Russia as an underdog. This speaks to and touches upon these great moments in Russia's past, and in the nature of the experience itself, as it has been unfolding these past weeks, has become a slow, hard-fought, you know, slog toward victory.
Ugly win. That's the way Russia wins, Michael. Ugly win. Germanicus, we must turn to NATO, however, because while Russia has been, as you say, slogging on, NATO has been reorganizing its sense of authority and security with great deal of sacrifice, because Russia was the chief source of energy for NATO's rebuild, for European Union's rebuild, these many decades. So I want to turn to your thoughts about NATO and what happens after Russia achieves its aims in Donbass. How does NATO posture itself towards the towards Moscow and the possibility of other pieces of the former Russian Empire now being at risk? Germanicus and I are in Londinium enjoying our cups of wine. We're headed to the Greek Theater. We have word that the Euripides team is still in town because the channel's winds are against them, and we're probably going to see something else tragic tonight about Troy, always weeping over Helen's fate, something like that. However, in the meantime, we can enjoy speculating about NATO's future. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius with Germanicus, and we're going to turn to NATO, headquartered in Brussels, Belgium.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.